He was out. Blood, concussion, you name it. He was done.
Welcome to the mysterious and unbelievable case of the Bat Boy and the Hot Dogs, Episode 6. Hi, I'm Josh Durham.
And I'm Ashley Pace.
Our podcast is about the 1990 Burlington Indians, a rookie league baseball team with a ton of future major league talent. The jobs we had working for the team that summer, well, they were among the greatest jobs we've ever had.
Our podcast is also a way to find out whether the team's bat boy, who was me, cost one professional ball player his dreams of playing in the big leagues.
In episode 5, we caught up with that player, Frank Monastero, and we talked with him about his time in Burlington, North Carolina, and how that time came to an end.
We heard how he tried to prove himself after being sent down to the Gulf Coast League, and how the Indians ultimately cut him late in 1990. We heard that he hoped to get picked up by someone else, but nothing ever happened.
We then took a bit of a break between that episode and this one.
A lot happened in that time. Baseball announced that it was coming back for a 60-game season. Minor league baseball got canceled for the year. We're still not sure what's happening with the contraction plan that we talked about in episode 4, though.
Something else happened during our break. Something big. What you're about to hear is from a video meeting of the Burlington City Council. They're making various nominations to different committees and boards. It's all very procedural and formal. The voice you'll hear talking is that of Burlington Mayor Ian Baltudis.
Owen, next is Traffic Commission. We have three new appointments for this. First appointment is Ann Davis for a term expiring June 30th, 2023. Ashley Pace for a term ending June 30th, 2023. And James Perry for a term ending June 30th, 2023.
Did you catch that second nomination?
Ashley Pace for a term ending June 30th, 2023.
Ashley, did you really get elected to a position with the Burlington Traffic Commission?
Not that I know of.
A listener sent that one in to us, and they asked us, is this the same Ashley Pace?
And it's not. Maybe unless I missed an email somewhere. I mean, I don't even live in Burlington anymore. But if it is me, I promise everyone this. I will uphold the duties of the office and defend the Constitution to the best of my abilities. So help me God.
The citizens of Burlington can sleep easy tonight. But back to our podcast. One of the reasons we took a break was that my family and I went off and enjoyed a change of scenery. But Ashley and I also wanted some more time to try to make heads or tails of the version of events that Frank gave us. If you remember episode 5, it didn't match up at all.
The story that Josh and I have been discussing for 30 years had us trying to get Frank out of being fined and going into Coach Keller's office with a defense that we'd completely made up.
Remember this from episode 3?
So Keller says to me, I've just got one question for you. When I caught you in the corridor and asked you whose are those, what did you think I said? And I told him, I thought you asked me what are those? And I said they're Frank's, because that's what I call hot dogs. But in Frank's version, he was right there eating the hot dogs in front of Keller, and he paid the fine.
There are two explanations for the different versions. The first is that we're talking about two completely different events. Perhaps Frank's event occurred earlier in the season, and ours was later, right before Frank was sent down to Florida.
But listener Jim Dedman suggested a second explanation. He said the Frank Monastero we interviewed is from a different timeline. It's a multiverse issue.
That actually makes my head hurt.
We may never be able to square it all up, but that's okay, as you'll hear in this episode.
Let's get to it then. In episode 5, Frank told us that just after he got drafted, he worked out in Cleveland before coming to Burlington. As he was taking grounders at second base, a man from the front office approached him, and he said he could tell from Frank's body language that Frank was homesick.
What we didn't tell you then is that Westchester University, where Frank played college ball, was less than 30 miles from where he'd grown up. So yeah, we can imagine it was quite a change to be away from home.
and a short season rookie league in Burlington may not have been enough time to get adjusted.
As you heard in our last episode, Frank was cut in November of 1990, and he never hooked on with another professional team. But that wasn't the end of his playing days.
He got better after he was released. He got a lot better.
That's Vince Elsier. Vince has known Frank for a long time. Since Frank was 14, in fact. Vince has been involved in baseball in and around Norristown, Pennsylvania, for decades. We caught up with Vince recently, and we asked him to describe Frank Monastero as an individual, as a ball player, or however else he wanted to describe him.
Frank is a gentleman. He's a good person. He cares about kids. He cares about people. And he's very non-confrontational, which when you look at Frank, you would never think that. That being said, if you get on his bad side, I wouldn't want to be the other guy.
We have to interrupt here because that one threw us. I got to be honest. Vince suggested that Frank has some kind of confrontational look about him. Take a look at Frank Monastero that we knew. He's in the team picture on the front row. We've got it on our Facebook page and on our new Instagram page, The Bat Boy and the Hot Dogs. Clean-cut kid, big smile, the whole world in front of him. There was never anything confrontational about him.
But then take a look at him in the YouTube video that we're putting up on Facebook as well. Or just Google Frank Monastero hitting video. He's added some muscle, grown into middle age, and that haircut. We're not sure exactly what's going on there. That's got to be the guy that Vince is talking about. I guess Frank has changed in the last 30 years.
Hey, well, we all have, Josh. We all certainly have.
Anyway, back to Vince. Vince knew Frank was something special well before Frank went off to college and then off to Burlington.
As far as a friend goes, I've known Frank since he was 14 years old. I watched him play, Junior Legion, Senior Legion, and that's where I went and grabbed him out of Senior Legion. He was already playing, and I brought him up, and he played as a 17-year-old on my adult team.
And Frank wasn't just good on that team. He was one of the best.
I knew just watching him playing Legion baseball and coming up and playing as a 17-year-old in a very good adult league, and he was kind of the cream of the crop then at age 17 in our league. And, knowing or getting the opportunity to go away and play pro ball, that's everyone, every boy's dream to get that opportunity. I would have never thought he'd be home as quick as he was, but that's the nature of the beast.
The nature of the beast. So what's all this about Frank getting better? When nothing panned out for Frank at the end of 1990, he went back to Pennsylvania, back to where he'd grown up, played youth ball, adult ball, and college ball.
And there was the Perkiomen Valley Twilight League, a semi-pro league referred to by the locals as the Perky League. Here's Frank.
Yeah, there's a semi-pro league up here that's pretty good. It's a pretty good league. It was a lot of minor league guys. At that time, that's where the good college players had to play. There was no like summer leagues for them to go into, except that league. So that league was a really, really good league. It was a competitive league.
It's not a loose band of beer drinking guys well past their prime. The teams in the Perky League are actually franchises. They have owners. And if you're wanting to own a team, you've got to make all sorts of presentations to the other owners. You have to present financials and explain how you'll run the team. Then the other owners vote on it. Here's Vince Elsier again.
Perkiomen Valley Twilight League is 104 years old. It's the best amateur baseball, adult baseball, in the state of Pennsylvania. And we've proven it by playing other leagues and all-star games and our champion against other leagues' champions. And we've also have done a lot of national tournaments and won. So to me, best adult league in the state. Your combination of ex-minor league players, kids that are in college playing and kids right out of college that didn't get the opportunity but still love the game of baseball.
Vince was running the Norristown A's when Frank came back home to Pennsylvania, though Frank hooked on with a few other teams in his first few years at home. But when Frank was on the Lansdale team that was looking to get out of the league, and Vince was looking for a new second baseman, well, Frank and some guys met with Vince at a place called the Brown Jug, which was owned by Frank's dad.
They actually went over to Lansdale and played, so he was on his third team. And I didn't like it, so we met in the wintertime at Frank's dad's bar and bar restaurant, and we had a little merger with Lansdale and Norristown, with Frank being the main cog of that.
The Norristown team that they put together after that turned out to be something special.
All the glory and the glamour and the team that Frank played for, there's great memories, and that'll never be repeated, the stuff that we did together.
You'll hear a couple of other names here. Altieri is one of the players who came over with Frank with the Lansdale merger. Brokell came a year later.
It was unbelievable. It was probably on a baseball field the best group of 12 to 13, 14 guys counting the pitchers that I've ever had a chance to assemble. And, you know, as a manager, if you can put the same nine guys in the lineup for 10 consecutive years, you're going to have success. And I was able to do that. So I was fortunate that I had the talents of Frank and Bob Altieri and a Mark Brokell. And I can go on with, you know, some of the numbers the guys had playing in a very competitive league. It was just amazing what we did. There will never be another team like that. I don't know, assembled anywhere. I mean, we were loaded from top to bottom, and I know I'm bragging, but I talk about them like they're all my kids.
From 1996 to 2005, the Norristown A's won 9 Perky League championships, including a stretch of 7 in a row. They were a force to be reckoned with.
And Frank was an integral part of it all. Here's Vince Elsier again, describing Frank Monastero as a ball player.
And then I can talk to you about the ball player. Okay, do anything to win a baseball game. Go through a wall to make a catch. Make 2 errors in a game. Come up to me and say, hey, I got this. And then hit a 3-run home run. We win the game.
Remember when we ran through Frank's positions in Episode 5? Frank said he was drafted as a second baseman. He could play shortstop too, but that was pushing it, because he didn't have a shortstop's arm. And third, that took some getting used to.
Yeah, we won't rehash Frank's last game for Burlington when he played third.
We asked Vince what position Frank played for him all those years in the Perky League.
He played second base for me. And then his last couple years, he came to me and he decided he wanted to catch. And Josh, I'll tell you, he was a real good catcher.
Nice.
Yeah, he was a real good catcher. Without a cup. Never wore a cup. Never wore a cup, ever. Nope. He said his hands were too good. He didn't need it.
That may be one of the greatest facts we've uncovered in this entire
podcast. I'll even give you a better one if you want. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is all clean, good baseball stuff, so... Another really good ball player was Dan Schifalo, and his nickname was Chief. So we're playing in a big tournament in Harrisburg, and Chief was catching. And Frankie kept bugging me about, okay, he wanted to catch. And we had a couple catchers, so Chief's catching. And he was the only one up there for the weekend, and there was a collision at the plate where Chief got his nose just totally exploded. He was out. Blood, concussion, you name it, he was done. As he's laying on the ground, bleeding, Frankie was tearing off his shin guards. That's a true, honest-to-God story. And every now and then, Chief will come into the academy with his son, and we'll reminisce a little bit, and that's the story always comes up. It was in the East Shore of Harrisburg. We were playing Pembroke. Chief was knocked silly, bleeding all over the place, and Frank was taking his shin guards off because he wanted to get behind the plate. And he did. And he did. And it was hilarious. And he, like I said, he did a really good job back there.
There's no doubt Frank had a lot of success in the Perky League. But when we asked him about it, here's what he said.
Yeah, I did. I did well in the years I played there. I just kind of wanted, what motivated me to do well is I still felt I belonged in professional baseball, just like every guy does who gets released that early. I just wanted to prove, and that's why I played that long in that league. I just want everybody to know, look, I don't know what happened, but I was good enough to be in professional baseball more than 1 year.
Frank actually undersells it. He was 21 years old when he played for the Burlington Indians in 1990. Frank Monastero played in the Perky League until he was 37 years old. And during that Perky League career, when Frank Monastero was trying to prove he could still play, he picked up a league batting title. He had several more finishes in the top five of the league. He picked up league MVP honors in Lansdale right before he moved over to Norristown, and he was runner-up for MVP in 1999, 2001, and 2003.
Frank Monastero did extremely well at home.
These days, Frank is running the Diamond Baseball Academy in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, just a few miles from Norristown. He says he's teaching kids how to play baseball the right way and even trying to give some lessons to the parents.
I've had this academy now for 14 years. So it's right outside of Philadelphia. I'm in King of Prussia, PA. And it's been an absolute blast. I'm just teaching these kids how to play the game the right way, how to respect the game, and educating the parents, too, on how hard this game really, really is. So they're getting educated by me and my staff about, let them play the game. You don't need to talk to them after the game on your car rides home. If they want to talk about the game, they'll mention it. Don't you mention it to them.
You can check out the Diamond Baseball Academy on Facebook. You'll see Frank pop up occasionally on posts.
Frank and Vince even own a team in the Perky League now. The league has shifted more toward kids who are about to go off to college. And in 2012, their team won the Perky League championship. Maybe there was a secret file somewhere that had the hot dog incident in it as we remember it, and maybe that's what led to Frank's demise as a professional ball player, but we don't think that's the case. Dave Keller, the manager from that 1990 team, said he didn't think so either.
When we heard from Frank in episode 5, it was clear that our version of events, the one where I got caught running food for him, that's just not a part of his history and his truth.
And Frank's stats in 1990, well, he wasn't exactly lighting things up in Burlington. Maybe that's just because he needed a little more time to adjust to professional baseball. Maybe he was homesick a little more than he thought. Maybe the summer of 1990 just wasn't his moment. It's all hard to tell.
Maybe it just wasn't meant to be. As longtime friend and championship manager Vince Elsier said, that's the nature of the beast.
But one of the driving forces for this podcast was to try to give Ashley some closure. So we had to ask Frank just to make it clear.
So Frank, this is a true or false question.
Okay.
So true or false, Frank Monastero's professional baseball career ran its course completely independent of anything that Ashley Pace ever did.
That's true or false?
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer it.
Now he's got to think about it.
I got no bad feelings towards Ashley whatsoever. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah. You guys, like I said, that was a great summer. That really was. That was a great summer for me. It was only one time. I wish I had more summers. But that was a big moment for me that summer. So I thank you guys. That was great.
And then Frank put all doubt to rest.
Every time Ashley and I get together, we've always talked about, well, You know, Ashley did get him in trouble with the hot dogs, and when Ashley came back from the beach, Frank wasn't there. So
that .42 average had everything to do with that. Not the hot dog.
Man, I can't tell you how good it is to hear that after wondering about this for 30 years.
I know you were also glad to be able to apologize to him and not about the hot dogs.
That's right. Remember in episode 3, we talked about the night when we were hanging out with the players in their apartment. I gave Frank a really hard time about his batting average. Well, I did get to apologize 30 years later.
There was a time we were at your apartment, condominium, whatever the heck it was. And I mean, obviously you were there. And I'm pretty sure it was when Witt told me that I could hula hoop with a Cheerio. But it was because I was giving you a hard time about your batting average.
Uh-huh.
And so I just want to officially apologize for my 16-year-old self giving you a hard time about your batting average.
That's okay. That's part of the game. That kind of stuff never bothered me. That never bothered me at all. No apologies needed.
Sounds like you're off the hook in a bunch of ways.
Yeah, it really does. Hearing that he doesn't blame me for what happened after the hot dogs and saying there was no need to apologize about my batting average comment, that feels pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
In our next episode, we'll wrap up the story of the mysterious and unbelievable case of the Bat Boy and the hot dogs. You know how some movies have those slides at the end where they give you an update on whatever happened to the people in the movie? That's how our episode 7 is going to be. You'll hear about what the years after 1990 brought for so many of the Burlington Indians players and staff that we've talked about in this podcast.
And there's even a little more that we've not yet told you about the life of Frank Monastero.
You'll hear about all of that and more on the final episode of the mysterious and unbelievable case of the Bat Boy and the Hot Dogs.
If you're enjoying the mysterious and unbelievable case of the Bat Boy and the Hot Dogs, be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're getting your podcasts. Recommend us to a friend or give us a shout out on social media. These kinds of things help us get found, and we definitely appreciate it.
And be sure to check out the band Cabinet. They've been so kind to lend us their library for use in our podcast. It wouldn't be the same without them. Find them online at cabinetmusic.com or on Facebook and Instagram at Cabinet Music. And we got down in Pennsylvania.